All right, hello and welcome to the Mojo Sports NRL show, everyone. I'm your host, Lainey, and wherever you are, in the car, at home, or on a walk, or even if you're overseas, thank you for tuning in. And joining me on the panel for another episode to share our hot takes, tipping mistakes, and opinions that aren't fake is lovely Georgie Sumter. How are you, Georgie, and how was your weekend of football?
Yeah, good, thanks, Lainey. What a surprising round of footy, huh? Kept us all guessing.
Certainly kept me guessing, but look, we are without Lachlan this week. My reschedule meant that our boy Wonder had a schedule clash for this recording. So we'll see you back here next week, Lachlan. But the conscientious fellow that he is, he actually passed on his takes and tips in advance so we could share them on the episode tonight. So, Georgie, look, I'm going to go straight to our tips because that's where, you know, a few of us were kind of thinking we should start tipping with you last week because you were doing so well. Now, just on reflection for any of you listeners that have been following, this week, Georgie scored 3 out of 8, having last week only being one short of a perfect round. Lachlan and myself, I don't know how we did it because there were a few matches where we were tipping, you know, in opposition. Anyway, Lachlan and I both got 5 out of 8. So congratulations, Lachlan. But Georgie, what happened?
Well, I did tell you I was the terrible tipper. I did tell you all that. It's just a fluke. So here we go on our slide down now.
Wow. Look, yeah. I think, you know, I'd say in the first 5 rounds, no one's going to get perfect tipping, but we might actually start to be seeing some real serious and highly analytical tipping happening after round 5. Okay, so Georgie, I guess I can say that in the words of Joe Public, you've got to live and learn. And maybe we have from this past round, as round 3 has given us a lot to talk about and much to think about with our tipping for the next week. But let's reflect on our takes on the round. Georgie, who is your best team or player for round 3?
Well, I think everyone's going to be a Tiger supporter, aren't they, after that performance? Well done to Benji. Appy leading the team and Aiden Caesar kicking the ball around. And the big men, they really made some meters up the middle, which was good to see. So they all worked together and bounced back from the previous week, which is so good to see. And the Cowboys sitting on top looked very ordinary to start, didn't they? But then you got probably a man of the match performance by Val Holmes, who stepped up and had 247 run meters, 107 post contact, a try, 7 line breaks, supported by Townsend there in the halves. So I think it was those two teams. Val Holmes for my player, Tigers for the team. What about you?
Both really good shouts. I was going to nominate the Cowboys, you know, the humid land of far north. The only team that's unbeaten in the competition at the moment. 8 tries. It was just such impressive stats. I won't go over it again. I'd actually say my best player, look, even though he didn't have a lot of points to put on the board to sort of demonstrate or justify just how much work he did put in, but I actually thought Kyle Felt for the Cowboys played really, really well. You know, he was such an effective guy. He was everywhere where he needed to be. You know, I know this sounds sort of cliche because I say this quite often, but, you know, he just gets in there and does the work, whether it be defensive or whether it be an attack. He's able to sort of get the ball to the person who is running the line to score the points. So, yeah, Kyle Felt, you know, probably a bit of an underrated player. I remember Emma, who used to be on the show before, used to say that she thinks he's like the best winger that she's ever come across. He's all right. You know, he did score that one try from 2015 grand final that none of us ever really forget for the Cowboys. But no, I'm glad to see he's still playing. But I thought he had a great match. Right, Georgie, so who was your worst or more underwhelming team or player for the round?
Well, where do we begin with this one?
Yeah.
Titans, Rabbits, Sharks. So disappointing with the Bunnies. They just give up on plays and they just give up on each other, really. Like, it's really hard being married to a Rabbitohs supporter at this time, let me tell you. there doesn't seem any match fitness. It's like they just don't care at the moment. Yeah, you know, it was terrible the Titans got kept as a donut, but, I'm going Rabbits.
Okay. I actually had them down as well, but actually quite remiss of me. For the best team or player for the round, Lachlan actually had advised that he nominated the West Tigers. He thought it was just a true 80-minute performance despite Sharks not being on top of their game. And you know what? Look, just reflecting on that, I was going to say that the South Sydney Rabbitohs were an easy team to go for when it comes to talking about underwhelming team of the round. But like, I would actually have to say the Sharks were perhaps quietly quite underwhelming for me. Nothing seemed to go right for them. I don't know whether it's like our oval. I know a lot of people sort of leading up to it often say, oh, they talk about it like it's this sort of fortress that, it holds some sort of magic power for Tigers. Well, it did for them, but it's not just the venue. I thought obviously a lot of it had to do with a great combination of players, and credit to also Benji as well for his coaching. But yeah, I thought Sharks, they sounded embarrassed in the press conference, quite underwhelming. And I think a lot of people were wondering whether Nicho Hynes was going to, save the match with a lot of his, magic plays and, wondrous kicking. And that just didn't seem to be for him. So yeah, look, I realize the Sharks are more than just Nicho Hynes, but he is, among the middle there, sort of steering the ship as well. And it just felt like a rudderless ship, a bit, for the Sharks. So that's my shout. Lachlan nominated the Titans. He said, "Nilled by the Bulldogs is a bad result." So there you go. That was what Lachlan thought of the round. That's a lot. And look, I think they're all like pretty good sum ups of summations of what we thought of round three performances. Look, I know we're probably going to dive into it a little bit more when we go into our tipping round, but look, let's just dive into our NRL stories of the week. Look, there's always something that comes out of rounds like we've had with big scores. Like, we've seen some big scores, making it to the fours, which is, yeah, a lot for us to deal with. But how entertaining and wonderful for us spectators. I'll just touch on this first one. So, like, Las Vegas 2025, pretty strong off the back of the success of the 24 Las Vegas campaign this year. For round one, that kickoff for the, I think it was a double header for the first round. Sounds like recent media reports allege that the Panthers are one of the first teams that have secured their spot in Vegas for Vegas 25. Now, Locked In Ready and others that are in the mix or talked about in the mix include the Melbourne Storm, New Zealand Warriors, the Dolphins, the Canberra Raiders, Newcastle Knights, and the North Queensland Cowboys. Now, that hasn't been locked down yet. As we know, it's always just speculation. And I wouldn't be surprised if some of the clubs have called up the journalists and said, yeah, we're thinking about it, just to get their name in the mix for NRL to actually consider them as a possible. What do you think? Is there a team there that you think is a little more deserving to go? I mean, this is what, a team of what, six teams? Melbourne Storm, Dolphins, Canberra Raiders, Knights, and Cowboys. So yeah, we've got like a few teams there. Panthers, I can understand why they've managed to secure a spot. I mean, three-time premiers, makes sense for them to go.
Absolutely. And if they weren't having their World Cup challenge, I'm sure they would have went this year.
Oh, this is hang on a second. Are you speaking with the assumption that they're going to make it a four in a row grand final?
No, not at all. It's going to be funny if they go to Vegas and when they don't win the grand final, isn't it?
Oh.
So yeah, I think something like they don't have it there, but why wouldn't you have like Penrith Para, because it's always against, the West, and and then something like Melbourne Warriors, because that's always, they play for a cup down there. So something like that. It covers all areas really. And the NRL W sending over a women's team. So looking at sending over a women's team. So yeah, that would be my thing. I think that they could, if they're looking at that, I think the closest rival for Penrith is Para. So they don't seem to be in your list.
Well, I mean, I like the idea that among the clubs listed, they've got teams that are outside of Sydney. I mean, I'm happy for Panthers to be there because let's just say they are the representative Sydney team who are attending. I think this year we had, did we have three Sydney teams go? So, and one Brisbane team. So I think it'd be nice to see other teams outside of Sydney be represented. I like the idea of the Warriors giving the chance, given the chance to go, just to sort of show, I think, the multiculturalness and also the fact that we stretch tr across two countries and that we've got another country participating in the competition. I do like the idea of North Queensland Cowboys because then they'll be the Queensland team that attends, and then maybe the Melbourne Storm. Because they're sort of representative of Victoria, and like you're always going to get a really good viewership here from Australia to see either of those teams if they're playing. Newcastle Knights fans. Not all the ones that turn up to their matches live are the ones who are tuning in. They've got, a growing audience outside of Newcastle.
If in saying that, if they do look at any women's team, Knights Cowboys have women's teams already established, so that would make sense to for something like that, wouldn't
That does make sense. Oh, that would actually be really good.
it?
Really good. Yeah, and I think it'd be great to, again, yeah, great opportunity for the girls game to get a bit of a profile over there, because if there's one thing I know from having watched a lot of female sport, especially in the past few years, is that female sport in the States, when they find something that they can play that's outside of the top six or seven sports available to females, if they can't get into the rugby team, they'll be looking at the NRL, W as an option. Especially once they see it live and see just the physicality of it. It's like, yeah, I can do that. Well, I didn't get picked for the rugby team, but I'll certainly be interested in what rugby league looks like. And then I think what's good about it too is for 2025, the NRL will probably run another combine competition again, in order to get players to audition and be put through their paces. And then we can look to sort of select more players that can come down to participate in the NRL Pathways program here. So, yeah, this is actually looking really good. Very
Yeah,
exciting.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Great for sport.
Oh, completely, completely. And actually, it's just segue off that news too. I mean, like, it was actually you that shared with me. It was announced, I think it was yesterday, that the 11th team coming into the NRLW competition for 2025 is actually the Canterbury Bulldogs.
Yes, isn't
Yeah.
that good?
I'm, look, excited to see who the coach is going to be. 'Cause that's always a bit of a discussion amongst followers of the league. But yeah, for those of you listening, the season actually kicks off on the 25th of July of this year, so you can tune in then. Did you have any comments, Georgie, about that Bulldogs announcement?
I messaged Gab about it yesterday, and she thought they would be. Gab, if you don't know, does NRLW podcast on Mojo with me. The juniors are amazing, and she'll think the other one could possibly be the Warriors that they look at to joining, which would be good. But maybe a little bit sad for the Brisbane girls because I think Gail Broughton will go home to play.
Oh, yes, she would. Actually, quite a few of the Broncos players might
That
come to think of
would be,
it.
yeah. But no, I think it's great to grow the game and. Like those the two girls that came over after the combine and played in the round we've just had up north in the women's national champs have it. So you look at a season of bringing over a whole team from there and just basing them somewhere and putting them in, like, why not?
Yeah, certainly. I agree. Yeah, grow the competition, get more eyeballs. Yeah. And look, this is exciting for Bulldogs. I remember seeing a news report about how the CEO for the Bulldogs was a little bit impatient, like trying to find out what's the hold up with these licenses. We've told you we're keen. So, I mean, look, I don't know if all of his I don't know, annoyance is perhaps just sort of triggered them to make a decision and given them the license. But it's, yeah, good news. Sometimes you have to get loud in order to get the attention that you need.
Absolutely. If Papua New Guinea bring in as an 18 team, they've got a wonderful women's team. Bring them in too.
Yeah, true. Well, I mean, like, we had obviously the Harvey Norman Women's National Championship competition as well. Like, again, this is just a perfect segue into this. So that took place over, I think, 3 or 4 days
4 days.
last week. Yep. And there were 12 teams. And look, it was actually Lachlan that said to us that PNG and NZ both getting through a rather star-studded competition. And they managed to get 2 out of 3 wins in their pool games. And Fiji was also a country that was participating, and they also got a win against Victoria. So they had the there's a medal that they give out, which was
Tony
just
Norris medal.
thank you, the Tiny Norris medal. So that was awarded to PNG center Belinda Guasamun and New Zealand player the lock there, Shanice Pihema. So they shared the honors together, apparently putting together some both of them putting out some really eye-catching performances across the 4 days. So there were 20 players named in the team of the tournament, which reflected the fact that of the 12 teams, they had 20-player squads. So, look, I have a feeling this is going to get to be a very popular competition next year. I'd say that we're going to see a lot more of the players that were in that tournament coming through in the NRLW sort of pathways as well. It's, yeah, Actually, just thinking about the next team for the NRLW, Georgie, I think it might be Penrith.
Do you? About the Bunny Girls.
Well, there's a lot happening out there. They have their own competition as well. And they've got like Karen Stewart out there, as head coach and trying to really sort of nurture and foster that talent. So yeah, I think we're going to start to see a big turnout and a big push for Panthers NRLW team, and they may be the team to watch. But you know what's so exciting, right? I love seeing women's sport, especially in rugby league, just more girls playing the game, more opportunities, and the more they play, the higher the salaries get. Because there'll be more eyeballs as well, and a lot more promotions and advertising.
And it's wonderful to lead into the NRLW season with all the comps. You're not just waiting for July for one comp, but they have all of this all the way around. And there'll be lucky players out of the last weekend's comp to score themselves contracts. So it's a great thing for women's sport. Absolutely.
Agree, agree. All right. Now, look, we tend to go after this team. Well, when I say we go after, I should probably correctly say the media and a lot of people love to go after South Sydney, especially with the performance. Currently, it's under scrutiny, not only by the media, but, I see social media, fans, journalists, everyone's really just diving in here. There's also talks about, allegedly getting pressure to drop Cody Walker, and basically as a result of the round three games. And then there's other news that, Sam Burgess is doing rather well in his new post over at Warrington, and his departure is probably being felt, especially with the results on the feet, on the field, as South, they're actually at the bottom of the ladder. And I cannot actually remember the last time when South were at the bottom of the ladder, and I think even the Tigers are loving that the South are at the bottom of the ladder for once, in the And at this phase of the competition. What are your thoughts? I mean, like, we touched on this, a little bit here and there about how, we're unsure about what things are, in terms of, like, we hear rumor. There's stuff that tends to always sort of come out through back channels, side channels, that things are just not right at South Sydney. And you also touched on the fact that JD wasn't a coach that we thought would be, a little, possibly in consideration for an early departure this year. But the noise I'm hearing is, yeah, there might be a quick shift soon if this team doesn't turn things around. Well, what are your thoughts?
I am married to a South supporter who is not a happy camper. The funny thing is, we said all of this and it just keeps spiraling and spiraling. But something isn't right with Cody, we all know that. There's more happening than we did think. It's taken the heat off the Roosters for me, hasn't it? Maybe Sam will come back and coach if JD's out of there and long gone. That depends on how many players have the respect with Sam too, because there was a few falling outs here, there and everywhere. The players did come out and say they backed JD, they did support him. Whether that's just what they had to say or was scripted for them, who knows? We'll never know if they do feel like that. There was only two of them. Jacob Host, who plays his 100th game this weekend.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, it's just it just I can't see them getting better with JD. And like I said before, it's their match fitness. It's a combination of a million things. Who knows if there's player risks behind the door? We got no idea. And then the discussion of moving Latrell to centre, should he be, he'd be a high-paid centre, moving him over there, then, does that open the door for AJ to go to fullback? Then who's your winger? There's a whole big shuffle to happen, but maybe it's worth looking at if it's going to get you off the bottom. Anyway, maybe they should call Coach Georgie. She's got a few ideas for you.
Yeah, well, look, I have no, there was a moment actually for that Roosters and South match where they were sort of filming the locker room before they took to the field. Anyway, it was just sort of, getting cozy on the couch, pour myself a drink. And then they were just sort of getting their shirts on. And the immediate comment made by the young 10-year-old next to me who has glasses. Very thick, actually. So, in other words, he can see very well what the issues are. And the first thing he asked me was, he said, "Who's that guy?" Points at Cody Walker, and he said, "Is he a professional player?" And I said, "Yes, he is. Why do you say that?" And he said, "Oh, his tummy doesn't say so." So, like, you know, I'm not shaming anyone here. I'm really just pointing out that, you know, he's a 10-year-old child who's a visitor to my home, is actually sort of making a comparison that he doesn't actually look like a professional player, because he doesn't have the, you know, sort of typical, you know, physique that's required. And I said to him, you know, look, we have up and down months sometimes, and like, you know, we all know that come the start of the season, everyone's just like carrying a bit of Christmas weight, and then by the end of it, everyone's looking super shredded and very fit and cut. But I don't know if that's what's perhaps, I think that's the lowest of the issues that's affecting Cody Walker's fitness, because every team knows how to just really upset him or just antagonize him, and then after that,
I see.
that's how you win. You know, just annoy Cody, and then you'll be able to get by him, because that's when all the errors come. The flick passes don't make it. The no look passes, you know, should be ones with looks. You know, things start to sort of fall apart, and then, you know. Yeah, it's a kind of a difficult place, because I think because I also live in Sydney, I just hear everything about what's going on with the South Sydney team, and it seems to always take sort of center stage when it comes to like finding out what the latest NRL headlines are. But I do look, touching on the point you said before, if Sam Burgess does come back, I don't know why he would.
He's
Leaving
mad.
behind, because like the Warrington job is so good. His team haven't lost a match since their season has started. So obviously they're doing brilliantly. And I think he would feel it's a step back to come back to South Sydney. But maybe the team and everything just needs a big clean out like the Tigers did.
Well, bring Uncle Wayne back because he had them fit. I agree with you. Like Cody's match fitness is letting them down, it's letting him down. You're a half in this team. You're leading them around that park, and you're not there. You go missing as well, and your kicking game's off. Everything's off, and it starts there. It starts in your spine. Your spine has to get it, has to gel. And I do agree with that podcast where Lachie Elias was the fallout guy when he actually didn't do anything at all. What's he getting the boot for? But you have to have your spine click. That is the main start of your team, and then build them around it. And it's just not happening there.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, like there was this whole sort of discussion about how, you know, Elias was part of the issue, but I mean, obviously he's not.
He's not there, and there's still issues. So hello.
I reckon obviously the last 3 matches, and now that they were like 3-0, they're at the bottom of the table. I'd say there'd be a few people sort of pointing their finger at you know, JD, wondering, right, you've made these changes, they're not working out. You were a premiership winning team not all that long ago. You were sort of hovering around the top of the table last year. What has happened? What's going on? Because fans, like, if there's one thing I know, South's fans are going to be crying for blood. And like, you think about the fact too that Tim Sheens, you know, there was like last year, you know, it was what, his first year as head coach for Tigers last year? Am I misremembering? And then like he didn't even have a full year, and Benji came in, and they didn't look, it wasn't quite as bad, you know. Like, I mean, I'm not saying that the Tigers results were terrible, like just as similar to South's, but I mean, you kind of wonder if you were to add it all up, the past, you know, 30 matches, even including this round, I mean, would fans be comfortable saying that he should retain his position based
Well,
on?
I'm half a fan. I'm married to a fan. Her brother's a fan. My brother-in-law wouldn't even watch the game, and he is South through and through. And he's like, I'm not watching it. Not doing that. Like the fans are mad. Yes, I agree with what you said. It's got to happen. And you know, if JD was any sort of coach, he'd be pulling Cody aside, saying, "Mate, lose your 10 kilos, get fit, lead this team. You're a senior player. Pull your head in." Latrell, same thing. I think Latrell's not as fit as he needs to be. He just pokes around the back there or disappears. Yeah, they brought in his Shaq Mitchell is going to be on the bench this week. So and look at how fit
Shaq.
he is. Yes,
Yeah.
you know, which is really nice to see. Thomas Burgess is starting. They've made some minor changes there, but that's not where the problem lies. So
See, when you're hungry and you know where you have to be to get there, you know, you're fit, you're doing the work, you're staying on top of, you know, the requirements to pass the fitness test or whatever. But when you're there, I mean, I guess we could say you're already well fed, you're no longer hungry, you know.
why are they allowed to get away with it though as a professional sportsman?
Yeah.
You
Well,
know, it's terrible.
obviously standards need tightening up there. I feel like I'm going to have to start searching for different things other than South Sydney, because otherwise my algorithm just becomes flooded with all of the latest news. Goodness me. All right. Now, you had some other news, Georgie. Like we were talking before we started taping that there was some news about Reece Walsh.
So Reece Walsh has agreed to a 5-year, $5.5 million deal with the Broncos, which makes him the hot, well, one of the highest, biggest deal Broncos have ever made. Interesting that it's come on the back of Tyler May's contract extension with Penrith for 2 years, is it?
Yeah, I did see that news about Taylor May getting a contract extension today. So did this news come out after Taylor's?
Yeah, like an hour ago, an hour and a half ago tonight it came out.
Oh well. I
Yeah.
guess, you know, Reece is in stitches. Literally
Literally.
and figuratively. Oh dear.
Oh, as a fan, I am stoked to keep him. It's wonderful news.
Yeah, wow. Now
It's
that is
about
great
time
news.
clubs start doing that and locking in players like that, and
Yeah.
keeping the talent.
Jeez, look, I wonder what this is going to mean going forward. Obviously, they're going to have to increase salary caps and all sorts. And, you know, soon we're going to start seeing some really big salaries that players will be making in their careers. And wow, a lot of these guys are going to be sitting on
Big money.
some great nests for the rest of their lives.
Well, like NFL money, isn't it? It's going
It
to
is almost. Oh, I wonder if that's what's happened. They've gone over to the
what's
States and they realize
doing.
how much they're all on. And it's like, come on, NRL. If you can afford this and you start picking up the
Well,
revenue, you can start paying us similar salaries. So,
they shouldn't have come out with their profit, the NRL, should they? Shouldn't have announced it all.
yeah, that is
Well,
good. Great news. All
it
right.
is good news,
Well,
absolutely.
great chat and banter, Georgie. Let's focus, refocus on something else. So, look, before we head into our tips around four, I just wanted to share this one comment that Lachlan has shared, and he said, "Seems generally that the past round it was a pretty high scoring round. A lot of one half only performances." I would agree with that absolutely. He also says, "Dragon versus Cowboys, Knights versus Storm, not consistent performances at all over the 80 minutes." So we'll be seeing, I think, better attention and discipline from the teams this coming long weekend. For those of you listening, some of you may or may not celebrate Easter, but we have a Easter long weekend here in Australia, which means we have a public holiday Friday and a public holiday Monday, which means we've got matches from, what is it, Thursday right to Monday, which is kind of good because it stretches out obviously our viewing time, Easter egg eating, hot cross bun shoveling in our faces, but also having to actually spend time with family and not trying to sneak away to watch the game. So we've got, you know, our round four matches. Now, Lachlan's also already provided us his tips for round four. Georgie, look, we're going to fire through these real quick, but wanted to obviously let you know that for round four, the Storm have the bye. They probably need that bye after that rather surprising loss that they had to the Knights at Newcastle in the past round. Look, I didn't really have much that I wanted to say about that particular match, but dear me. You know, to the point that Lachlan had said before, not consistent performances over the 80 minutes. And also, I think they were, as I believe, I think they scored all their points the Knights in the first half and then they scored nothing after that. And really, it's just hats off to Storm in the attempt to come back and try and chase that win. But, you know, alas, no dice.
No, it was a good game. Could have gone either way.
Could have.
You know, close calls on either part as well, which sometimes determines a game as an armchair critic sitting at home watching it. That's what we see. Don't know.
I'm the absolute coach when I'm at home watching a game. I think my husband gets quite tired of me pointing out things on the field and players, and he gives me this wonderful, like, okay, honey, yes, honey, right? But just sort of that humouring look. All right, so we've got the Storm with the bye. I think they'll be happy to have the whole long weekend off to celebrate with their families and enjoy some football. So on Thursday at 8 o'clock over at Moore Park, we've got the Sydney City Roosters versus the Penrith Panthers. Now, who are you going for, Georgie, and what margin are you thinking that it will be by?
Well, this one was a little bit difficult, not having Cleary, and just having a look at the Penrith team. I'm going to go the Roosters by 8.
By 8, okay.
I just think that they can just keep going from last week. I don't like the Roosters. Everyone knows that. I think that they will run over the Panthers. I think the Panthers will be a bit lost without Nathan's kicking game and to just guide them around a bit.
Well, the Roosters the second on the table, Panthers are fourth on the table. So Brad Schneider, I think, is who's coming in for Cleary at halfback. But Panthers have won 26 of the 46 matches these teams have faced each other. And the Panthers, I know, look, it feels as though the past sort of few weeks, it's like week on week on week, we're seeing how they're, working together better. They're readjusting, they're recalibrating, and I take your point about Cleary not being there, that they might be a bit lost. I feel also that Cleary's the sort of guy that he would have ensured that someone like Brad Schneider had been spending enough time with the team to ensure that he was sort of shadowing and getting, a lot of that that sort of footy IQ that you really need at a halfback position. And I don't know, I think we might be seeing the next halfback that they've been blooding for a while in the background. That, I'm not saying that Cleary's leaving. I think he's got like a long deal there. But I mean, you think of Jack Hogger as an example. Ivan Cleary made sure that he was in good stead to be able to step in for Nathan, and he did. I don't imagine Cleary being the sort of person that wouldn't do the same for Brad Schneider and have the confidence to name him for this. So I am going to be backing the Panthers. Even though the Roosters have been quite good, they certainly displayed last week, some great strength on the field, quite formidable. But it's a case of I'm quite excited about this match because I feel like these two teams are fairly evenly matched, in terms of skill and their team, like when you look at their squad. So, but I think the Panthers might just sneak through with the win here. And Lachlan has too, so we've both gone for the Panthers. That's my reasoning anyway. Look, I mean,
Well, what I said to my sister, because she's a mad Panther supporter, is I just hope they build each other silly.
oh, so that they will get
Doesn't
injured.
matter who.
I've got to say though that I mean, there has been a lot of physicality. That Panthers match against the Broncos last week, very physical. It looked like it was really weird. It felt like they were just sort of sending the message that you were lucky to get to the grand final a little bit with the way they played.
Come
And
on.
look, I'm probably reading too deeply into it, but yeah, like they were there really to play. They weren't there to play round 3 footy. They were there to play what was almost like round 20 footy, the way the Panthers turned up that week. All
And you'd look
right.
at a team like that with that fitness play, if they'd have played South last week, what would that score would have been?
That's true.
You
That's
know,
true.
that's there's the difference in match fitness, isn't it?
Yeah. Can you imagine? All right. So on Friday evening, sorry, Friday afternoon over in Olympic Park, we've got the South Sydney Rabbitohs versus the Canterbury Bulldogs. This should be an interesting match to watch. I think these two teams, they tend to bring a mix of either really exciting football or it could be really dull, one-sided football. Do you know what I mean? But we've seen the Bulldogs sort of showing that last win that they had, that they've certainly got it in them to pull out some great footy. And the Rabbitohs, who are you going for and what's your margin?
Well, all afternoon this game I couldn't pick. On one piece of paper I have gone the Bulldogs, on the other piece of paper I have gone the Rabbits. So I can't see the Rabbits being fit enough to be able to beat the Bulldogs.
Oh.
But I want to say it's going to be an upset by Souths because we've talked so much smack about them. So I'm going to tip Souths for that one reason. Souths by, I don't know, four. Just so they can prove people wrong, really. I don't think there'll be much in it, yeah, at all. I'm probably really am going to be wrong here, but I just want Souths to prove people wrong, really.
So I sort of said at the start of the season that I'm quite excited about the Bulldogs. And I even tipped them, I think, in the first round. And it was a bit of a disappointment. And of course, they come good when I don't tip them this past week. So I am actually going to tip them this week. I feel like they've probably worked things out amongst themselves. They know now where the plays are. It took a little while. Players sort of understand what their position at their roles are. Matt Burton's starting to actually play like he should. I feel as though they've spent enough time reflecting on what they should be doing and what they absolutely should stop doing. And I think that was what we saw on the field this past week. So I'm actually going to tip the Bulldogs. I think the margin is going to be maybe 10 points. And the reason why I say 10 is because South, even though they show all the fight, and they sort of do that mad scramble in the past 15 minutes, in the last 15 minutes of the match where they think they're going to try and claw back the lead. There's a part of me that thinks that Bulldogs are going to come out really quick, really far, like hard, and those first 40 minutes that will actually make the catch up a little bit difficult for Souths. I mean, like they'll put on some tries towards the end, like they usually do, kind of like they did with Broncos and what we saw a bit of last year. But yeah, and I just don't think it will be enough. But again, it also comes down to fitness, and Bulldogs look very fit compared to Souths, like you say. So, wow, I think that actually would be a match that I'm definitely going to watch, actually. Not the match of the round, but certainly Rabbits will be looking to really redeem themselves
Yeah.
after everything that's been going on. So, I mean, I think they're going to bring a really big fight, but I just hope they bring it big and quick to save themselves if they can. Goodness me. All right. Exciting. Well, Lachlan's also gone with Souths. So you two are both going for the
Good job,
Rabbitohs.
Lachlan.
Yeah, good job, Lachlan. All right. So Broncos versus Cowboys. Brisbane Broncos, Friday, 8 o'clock at Lang Park in Brisbane. Now, I am actually going to this match with my sister because I'll be in Brisbane. I messaged her last night and I said, I want to go to the footy live. I've got no one to go with. Do you want to come with me? And she's like, I've got the night off, so let's go. So
Really?
my sister and I are going to this match. Who are you going for, Georgie? What
You've already written
margin?
it down for me.
Look, I know I have to ask anyway. I did predict that you were going to pick the Broncos. And actually, Lachlan's gone with the Broncos as well. I imagine that he would be saying something along the lines of, it's, on Brisbane turf, they would have been able to work themselves out after the performance they had against the Panthers last week. Although, may I just remind each of us and our listeners, the Cowboys is the team at the top of the table and is unbeaten. They have coming with a lot of really intense, like speed matches. They don't look tired. They are actually coming away from each game looking quite comfortable about the speed that they're moving at. There's no, you don't see them standing on the sideline puffing to try and catch their breaths as much as they used to. But they're actually every and all of them are at the same level of fitness. It's been really, really quite exciting to watch. So, did you happen to have a margin for that match?
Yeah, well, Adam is back. Adam's named, which is a
I saw that.
bonus. Tristan Saylor at the back. And Corey Oates has been he's been put back on the bench, so that's a nice little addition. He's named at 17.
Oh, he's named as the 17th man.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He is.
Oh, that's good.
It is really good to see him back. I have by two, Brisbane by two. Nothing in it. Should be a good game. I haven't got as my match of the round, but it'd be up there. Should be a very good clash.
I think it should be a really good clash as well. I am not going for the Broncos. I see that the Broncos have named Tristan Saylor as the fullback as well coming into that match. Oh, Tristan's got some really quick boots to fill there. And Adam, I hope he can actually stay on and play the full match as well. But yeah, I'm definitely going for Cowboys. I reckon the difference is going to be like the margin's going to be 8 points. I think it'll be eight. I have no real reasoning for it, but I think the kicking's going to be the difference. And yeah, if we're still thinking that Adam's going to be doing the kicking or Katoni, in terms of probability with those two kickers and how they go, Katoni doesn't always make kicks from one side of the field. And do you know what I mean? So, and if that's where they're going to be scoring, which seems to be a favorite side to score, yeah, I think it's going to be kicking is going to be the difference. Yeah, listen to
I
me
just
like I'm listen to me like I'm some kind of analyst. Jeez,
we are.
pretend. Oh dear me. All right. So the next match, we've got the Dragons, actually. The St. George Illawarra Dragons, they take on the Manly Sea Eagles on Saturday, 5:30. This is down in Wollongong at the Wollongong Showgrounds. Georgie, who are you going for? Because I've got down here for Manly, Lachlan has backed Manly for this match.
Yes, I noticed that your name's not against either of those.
Oh, I didn't want to tip my hand too quickly here.
I'm going to go with Manly as well. It was a pretty good performance last week by Manly. They just got pipped at the post by the Eels. But they seem to be going along. Brooks has slotted in nicely, and Turbo at the back is injury free, which is their bonus. And just on that, what do you think of the controversy of Jake not going through the line and old mate giving him a cuddle? Did you see that?
I
You watch
don't
it?
really think much about it in the sense that, I mean, like, he's just saying hi, isn't he?
Yeah, he gave up, but anyway, you got to go through that line.
Yeah, honestly,
Two more
you know.
steps.
Yeah, Jake, well, Jake, they rely on Jake a lot, by the way.
Yeah,
Well,
no, I think Manly can do it by. I'm going to go 13 plus on this one. I'm going to go a big one.
13 plus. Wow. Okay. Against the Dragons
Yeah.
in Wollongong.
Yeah. Dragons
Yeah.
can't keep going like they did have. Like they just. Yeah. I mean, I know they put 24 points on the other day just out of sheer luck, I think, with Lomax and your player for the Dragons.
You think Zach Lomax is one of my favorite players? Oh my goodness. Georgie,
Why not? Sorry.
please. I don't want to start a fight.
Yeah, I just don't think that the Dragons can do a full performance and
Look, I know they can fluke sometimes their performance, and oh, I'm in two minds. I'm going. Look, I didn't tip Manly last week, and I'm glad I didn't. Right, but he is. But like, I know Seibold is actually fronting up the same 17-man squad as he did last week. I think he's hoping that, you know, if they work enough together, they'll sort of work out what they need to do better next time. I'm actually going to go for the Dragons. I always think that I'm not saying that Ben Hunt is a better halfback than Dale Cherry Evans, but look, I just have this paranoia about the Trebojeviches that you know, it only takes one of them to get injured in a match, and it's almost that time of the round for one of them to become injured, and it will just sort of upset the entire equilibrium of that team. So I am going for the Dragons because the Dragons, they can kind of flex and adapt to sometimes those changing situations a little bit more than Manly. I'm gonna go for
Wow,
Dragons. Yeah, I
put
know.
the
Look,
donor on them.
this
Goodness.
is and you know what? I've never tipped the Dragons this much at the start of a season, but look, there were some good moments in their play last round, so I know they didn't exactly take the win, but you can. I sometimes feel like when you play against a good team, like the Cowboys, you know, you're gonna get better as a team. Like, I remember last year it was for every team that played the Panthers and lost really badly, the following week they played really well. I don't know whether the Cowboys will end up being that team for a lot of players, and whether that they will be that for the Dragons. There is absolutely no logic to what I've probably said, but I'm going for the Dragons, and I think it's only going to be by 4 points, the win. Okay, right. So we've got Titans versus Dolphins. This is no, sorry. Yes, Titans versus Dolphins, Saturday, 7:35, down at the Gold Coast. Look, oh, so Georgie, who are you going for here? Because the Titans have been having a bit rather rocky start, and now we've also, you know, we talked about earlier that Tino's out for an injury and he's a key player. Who are you going for, and what margin are you calling?
Well, Jaden Campbell's back. for them at the back, so that's a good start for them. Just seeing who come in. Keenan Palacios for Patino. And Kalyce Haas. They're going to be fronting up there together. So still don't think the Titans can do it. Still getting used to Des, I think. Not entirely sure what's going on there. They seem like a good team on Peter paper. But yeah, just can't get any points on the board. So Dolphins, another 13 plus game here, I reckon. I can't see the Titans miraculously going to Golden Point or anything like that. What about you?
You said the
13?
Dolphins.
Yeah, Dolphins by 13.
Well, I've gone Dolphins. Lachlan's gone Dolphins, and I'm
Ooh.
so all three of us have gone for the Dolphins. I have a feeling. Look, do you remember that match last year when the Dolphins and Titans and were playing each other? And I think the Titans were leading at half time. It was something like a 25 or 26 point deficit, and the Dolphins actually came back and won that game. Look, I remember last year we were talking about how Titans were strong starters, but like really weak finishers. Dolphins have shown to be like strong starters and strong finishers. And I think they'll be thinking back to that exact match where they managed to claw back the lead. And I think my hopes with Titans are kind of lost at the moment, maybe for now. And that's the reason why I'm just going to stick with the Dolphins, go with the team that's been doing well, and that, I do have a soft spot for the Dolphins. I think the points margin is going to be severe. I have a feeling the Dolphins might get to 50.
Wow.
Yeah, for this, it's on
Are you talking about
Saturday.
plus 50 or a plus 40 or what are we
I'm
doing
going
here?
to say more than 30. Just to,
Wow. Oh.
yeah, like yeah, I'd say. Yeah, I think it's going to be definitely more than 30 points. Oh, I'll be eating those words next week if I'm wrong. But yeah, good Friday, have some fish, turn up and play your match against the Titans. I have a feeling the Dolphins will do well for this. Yeah, I'm kind of excited to see whether I'm going to watch it just to see whether I'm right or not now.
Well, you have a look at Wayne, what he did at Rabbits. It took him a couple of years and they got to a grand final. He's going to do the same here. Like it
Yeah.
takes them just a little bit to find their rhythm, get used to Wayne and his ways. So yeah, I think it'll be a good year for the Dolphins under his coaching. I mean, I love his coaching style. I always have. I was at South one day and he walked past me on the phone. He was on the phone. He waved to me and I was just like jelly. I was like, oh my God, Uncle Wayne is waving to me. And it was wonderful. Yeah, I love his coaching style. I love what he can do.
No,
He was at Brisbane
nice.
a long time, so.
Yeah. I might run into him. Doubt it. When I'm up in Brisbane, absolutely doubt it. I ran into Corey Parker when he was on his morning walk down here a few weeks ago,
Oh, I love Corey.
and my husband said to me, he goes, like we're walking, and he's come around the corner, and I've spotted him, and I've gone, "Hey, Corey," and he looks up and he goes, "Hey," and I said, "How's it going?" And he goes, "Yeah, really good, thanks." I went, "Yeah, cool, have a good one." And then my husband looks at me and he goes, "Who's that?"
Oh my goodness.
Anyway,
Did you slap him?
no, I explained, and he goes, "Oh, I didn't recognize them." Yeah, and I said,
I
"In the
love Corey.
wild, you don't. Sometimes you just don't recognize them when they're not in their footy gear or in their sort of suit that they usually wear on television." It's rather entertaining.
Well, a
There you go.
fun fact, back in the day, I ran into Chief Harrigan in the car park at Newcastle, like actually wasn't watching where either of us were going, smacked into each
Well,
other,
like
and he
literally ran into each other.
literally ran into each other, and I was like, fuck, you're huge. Like he really is a big guy. And
Yeah.
I'm 5'3", so
Yeah, right.
straight into him, and I reckon my face was like his belly button. He is a unit, and he was so lovely about it, and very apologetic. So,
Yeah,
come on, your
right.
chief.
Yeah, he does come across like a rather polite gentleman. All right. So on Sunday at Mount Smart Stadium, we've got the New Zealand Warriors taking on the Newcastle Knights. This match, I think, will be quite interesting for a Sunday afternoon. We know that weird things happen on Sunday, but I don't know if that happens over Easter weekend. But Georgie, who are you rooting for in this matchup, and what margin are you thinking it's going to be?
Well, I actually tip this a match of the round because I think it will be a good game. If the Knights play like they did, Warriors play like they did, as in the Arvo over there, why wouldn't it be? So I have gone Knights by six. I know the Warriors are hard to beat at home. If it's raining, it's going to be raining. I didn't check that.
Well, let me check. Let me check. You know, usually I am really quite good at checking the weather with my soundness, like in order to support my sound position.
Yeah, it's really is with the Warriors, it needs to go on weather.
Yeah. Sunday's rain. Yeah, Sunday's rain and around about 6 o'clock, which is when the game's being played at Mount Smart Stadium. Yeah.
Oh dear. I'm still gonna take the Knights by six, but yeah, with the rain, very well could be the Warriors having a little home win.
Okay. Well, I've gone for the Warriors. The Knights, I think, sort of decided to fire up this past round. So I think they're coming a little bit more ready for this match up in New Zealand. Don't know how well they travel, the Knights. Sometimes it's great, sometimes it's terrible, but I'm hoping that it's the latter. So I have a feeling, based on the way the team had performed last week, we're not reporting any particular injuries. That of concerns. We do have quite a lot of ins. We do have a few outs. Obviously, we had a Tane Tuapiki had a HIA, and I think he's got a mandatory stand down period, having failed that particular concussion test. But look, most of the team looked pretty strong and ready for this. Ponga played a great match. I think, if I just go back and have a quick look, but I think, yep, they've got Jack Cogger at halfback. They've got Gamble at 5'8". So that, I mean, it's good to see that the Knights are making a few really important place, like sort of position decisions, here, which I think, I think, look, they will be a formidable team for us to face up against, like the Warriors. So I'm still confidently backing the Warriors, and I think the margin, look, I think it's going to be 6 points my way rather than your way. So there you go, Georgie.
Wowie. But like you touched on with Jack Cogger, and his skill, bad luck to Hastings, but I really think Jack is the man there. And yeah, that's coming off what he's learnt from Nathan Cleary.
I agree.
And
I
I
agree.
think that those halves there of Gamble and Cogger needs to just be set in cement, really, and let them play.
I agree. I agree. And like, there are. The Knights actually have some really great players. I've often felt like someone like Phoenix Crosland, and like just seeing how Jack Cogger, like, and it was like during the preseason matches, I think I saw him play, and I thought, oh well, obviously he's the obvious choice for halfback. And then when the season started, and they didn't put him there. I think they had him on the interchange bench for round one. And I thought, but why? Why would you not utilize someone like him? I mean, obviously they've got salaries that they've paid and whatever they've promised, but yeah, look, part of the reason why I'm also going after the Warriors to win is that the Knights haven't won there since 2019.
Oh, it's about time they did.
All right, I think Dylan Boteng is a Lesniak anytime try scorer, I'm sure, for that match.
Get those locks flowing.
Indeed. Also, just a note, Adam O'Brien, he actually will reach his milestone of 100 games as head coach. So, look, they might decide to mount a big effort to try and get the win. Who knows? I mean, you can't get everything you want, but hopefully they have a party afterwards to celebrate it. All right. So, Sunday we've got the Cronulla Sharks versus the Canberra Raiders. This is at Shark Park. What are you calling for this one, and what is the margin? Because both these teams, Sharks lost the Tigers, the Raiders lost the Warriors, and these were two strong teams that came in, I think, after the first two rounds, looking like, they were going to eat up their opponents for round three, but not the case at all. Who are you going for, and what's your margin?
Well, it's a tough one, isn't it? Sharks at home with that crowd, or the Raiders with Jordan Rapana. He is a one club, 34-year-old, 200 gamer. It's going to be a wonderful to see him make that milestone. So I'm going for the Raiders for the win for Jordan. And I think by 12, it'll be
By 12.
a couple of tries in it. The Sharks have just lost their way a little bit. They, like you said last week, how they just couldn't get it together, and they just fell apart once the Tigers took control of the game. So that seems to be what's missing for the Sharks. They did have some injuries too. I haven't got them all here, but they've got some injuries. they can get it together and turn their season around the Sharks. I have got them at 8, I think, so that's the only place I need them to be.
I think Toby Rudolph for the Sharks is a big injury out for them, and Dal Finucane. I think also Royce Hunt. So the Sharks have got,
The big men.
yeah. Look, and I think the Raiders will be smelling blood in the water, so to speak, over this. But look, I mean, that was that last match. What was it? 16 errors, and I think they had only completed 67% of their 37 sets. So I mean, obviously they were very much under attack from the Tigers there. A lot of not quite the team that we see that is able to, sort of work in concert with each other to get the points and formulate those attacks that we're used to seeing. But yeah, I've also gone for the Raiders. I do think though that the Sharks are quite determined to sort of quiet down a few of the critics about, remember how last year it was, can't even beat top eight teams. So what is it this year? Can't beat bottom eight teams. Like I feel they're going to have like this sort of following them around, and I think they're quite determined to sort of change their luck and change the narrative. And the only way they can really do that is, either win this game or fight really hard and show that they can bring attack to it. So I actually think it's going to be quite close. I think it might be like 1 or 2 points. I'm going to say 2 points in it. I don't know what the weather's going to be, but if there's one thing I do know about Shark Park is when it's wet, they don't play very well. So I
No.
haven't even checked the weather there.
But if you have a look at the Sharks team that they've named, it's a good team.
It
It's
is a good team.
a quality side, so
Yeah.
no reason why they can't stick it to Vicky, stick it to Sticky. And but I think no, I think the Raiders will be too strong there.
Yeah, no, I agree. This should be quite good. I mean, like the Sharks have won their past 7 games at this stadium. Sorry, won 5 of their past 7 games at the stadium. Apparently, Ronaldo Mulitola, he scored 14 tries in his past 11 games there. So, and like, it's there's a whole lot of statistics that back up that they should win. So I think they would be quite embarrassed in front of their fans to lose again, especially off the back of that Tigers match. So I have a feeling that they will be pulling and pushing really hard to get a win. But I think the Raiders are going to be even more hungry for it, because I think they felt that they were just sort of, pipped at the post against, in that Warriors match. So yeah, be interesting to see. Look, I reckon this might be sort of a mini match of the round, because these two will have a bit to try and prove and celebrate. Right, final match. It's the Parramatta Eels versus the West Tigers on Monday. So, we get Monday footy before we go to work on Tuesday. It's out at Parramatta Stadium. Who are you calling for this, Georgie? And what margin do you think it's going to be? Because there's a lot going on in terms of news with the Parramatta Eels. I mean, we spoke about earlier that Mitchell Moses is going to be out with an injury. So that means Dylan Brown is coming in to take the halfback spot.
Blaze Talagai. I did write down the Eels, but once the news about Moses and now of looking at the team, I'm gonna actually jump ship here and go the Tigers. Because they've just about kept their team by the look of it. And why not? Why not back Benji by 6, just a try in it. Just on looking at now that the team's right. I mean, this is a little luxury of a Tuesday podcast, isn't it? That we get to see the teams and see who's in and out. So I'll go the Tigers by 6.
Okay, makes sense. I'm going to go Tigers as well. I think it's only going to be a very small margin. It's going to be a field goal or a penalty, I think, is really just going to be the difference for this match, because Eels, they're a real sort of tooth and nail type of club, especially in front of their home crowd out at Parramatta. And, I know they got the win last week. Am I sort of misremembering that as well? No, they got the win last week against Manly. I think it was also at the same venue. So, like, Eels will be fighting hard, but I feel like Tigers will be fighting even harder. Oh, yeah, I think it's, look, I was almost about to change sides then. Lachlan has tipped for the Eels. So, yeah. Lachlan's tip for the Eels. I'm going for Tigers. I think it's going to be 1 or 2 points in it for the win. Clint Gutherson is an excellent fullback, and he's certainly much more experienced than Jareem Bowler. So, but you know, other things to consider too is that you know Api Korisau last week had one of the best games at hooker, and probably better than Joey Lusick did. So you know, by comparison, I feel like you know there are certain players in the mix of both teams where you know experience and then speed and youth, obviously. But yeah, I'm definitely going to go for the Tigers for this one. I think this could be quite an exciting game too. You know, like we talked about how Sunday afternoon matches just kind of anything goes. This is the Monday afternoon Easter one. It could be after sitting around eating chocolate eggs and bunny rabbits all weekend that, you know, one of these teams might come in a bit cocky.
You think?
Don't know, but.
The Tigers felt that joy from last week, and I think that all of those lads would want to feel that again. I mean, they had such a shitty start to the year, and then they had that just pure joy of what, oh, we did this and we can do this. And you know, even to the extent of the team song being on the bit of paper for them to sing because they had no idea what it was. And I think they've probably all been practicing that and they want to feel that again. So now on reflection, yeah, I think the Tigers will have it in them for another one.
Well, I'm gonna like also represent Lachlan's side here because you know he's a Tiger supporter, and like you know even though he said that 8 minutes of footy was like great football to see from the Tigers last week, the reason why I think he's tipped for the Eels, I think if Lachlan was here, he'd say something like, you know, every time the Tigers sort of put on these big scores or they have these big wins, you know, the week after they're not usually able to back that up. And they might be sort of feeling the fitness a little bit. They're still relatively young. They perhaps don't necessarily have the, you know, the bones and the muscles or the experience to be able to back that sort of effort up. And also the fact that the Eels are formidable and they have quite a bit of depth and experience there, and like good leadership within their spine, you know, and with Clint Gutherson as the captain, that, you know, Lachlan would say, "I'm just being real here, and this is the reason why I'm going for the Eels." And I can almost hear him saying it, and me being disappointed that he said so. But you know, Lachlan's a realist, and but he'll be very happy that you and I are going for the Tigers.
Yeah, we've got the Tigers backs, mate. Don't worry about that.
So yeah. Anyway, there you go. Well, thank you, Georgie. That is it. That's our show. That's all of our previews and our tips. And you know, we've, as always, just covered over some juicy and maybe not so juicy topics. You know, all those NRL headlines. As always, Georgie, thank you for your insightful contributions on the show today. Well, I'm sure we all look forward to a better round of tipping. Thank you, listeners. If you're going to any of the matches, be safe, take care, and have fun. We appreciate you tuning in, and we'll catch you all next week. And thanks for joining us again on the Mojo Sports NRL show.